Now welcome to First Mint. Looking for NFT content? Look no further, cause this is it. From Top Shot the blockchain, they got the data chops, analysis, and pack drops. The show's equator hot. LG and Phil D, the best amongst others. Best brothers that happen to ball since the Ball Brothers. So settle in, cause it's time for the best show. Ayo Quad, we'll be reppin' the First Mint. Let's go.
Huge warning as we start the show. Yeah. Seconds before I started recording, Phil told me that there is much to discuss and that he was not willing to share the topics with me, but that there is both sports and non-sports things that are happening today, and he wants to see if we are on the same page. So there's a warning to you. Whatever happens, this is an unscripted show. I don't know what Phil's going to say today. Okay, I don't know what kind of bombs he's going to drop. He was already complaining about a couple things before we started. So who knows? Phil's in an agitated mood today. Phil, what's going on?
Okay. Well, first and foremost,
Hold on. Also, it's Bills game day. It's week one for Bills. That's why Phil, we're recording earlier than usual today. Clearly, because Phil has places to be this afternoon. He's got to get out there. This is a do or die season for the Bills, Phil. So I can sense the tension in the air for you.
Yeah. It kind of is, but, you know, I'm sick and tired. I watched ESPN all morning while working, and if you're from my work and you hear me say that, I guarantee you every single person watches Netflix while they're home, so don't give me shit for it. I have ESPN on in the background while I'm working away, and I have to listen all morning to these. Apparently, they're all Jets fans now, okay, but apparently everybody on the morning shows is a Jets fan. They used to be Giants fans. But after last night, nobody wants to admit to being a Giants fan. I think only Dan Orlovsky admitted to picking them in the pool or something like that. But the Giants got crushed 40-0.
It wasn't just 40-0. It was like I don't know if you saw that one tweet that's like losing a game by 40 points, a pick six touchdown.
I did see it.
Seven sacks to none, four turnovers to none. Has never happened to a team in a season.
This happened
to them in one game.
Listen, like, it's a new without level. Getting into the NFL right away, because I do want to start with something else. That was horrific. You know, this time of the year, LG, when it's still September, I always make fun of a lot of my buddies in the group chat for the fantasy league, because I say, how many of you guys are watching right now? It's Sunday afternoon. How many of you are watching, and how many of you are with the family at the pumpkin patch, like picking pumpkins and apples and all that shit?
Oh, you know,
because there's guys who don't respond all day. And I'm like, I know for a fact you guys are not watching. Like, that's pathetic. Okay. But it's September, right? There's still a lot going on. You can still go out and do stuff in September. It's not like it's middle of November and it's like, you know, the days suck outside and
Days are still long. Long days. There's still things you can go out and do. And I think it's a tough time of year too. Kids going back to school. So the kids get all agitated and stuff. And the weekends are going berserk. So it's like, you don't, as much as you're hyped, I think people don't have, it's okay to not tune in right away. Also because I feel like people have spent so much time on NFL stuff recently. That the family is kind of eager to get them back. Because especially leading up to this season, you're spending a lot of time draft research, drafting, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, once it actually starts, it's almost like some people kind of take a break for a second. But anyways, go on. You don't want to talk football. You don't want to start by talking.
No, I don't want to talk, but I just want to say that game last night, a lot of people weren't able to tune in to all the other games during the day. The first slate of games, the 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Western, was maybe the worst slate of games in history of football games. And I know I say this every year, but the football was awful. The teams were awful. Like, all these teams were freaking terrible. And then the afternoon slate came around, a bunch of more terrible teams. Oh. So after a day like that, we were heading into a huge divisional matchup between two teams that obviously have massive fan bases and that are always trying to kill each other, right? The NFC East, they all hate each other. And I was expecting like a great game. I'm like, oh, it's going to be awesome. And the way the Giants started, I'm like, all right, here we go. They came to play. They're actually making moves on this Dallas defense that we've been hearing about all week. And then they didn't score a single point. So
it was like 6 minutes in. They were down by 16 like immediately when the game started.
And it was over. They couldn't do anything after that. Like, everything went wrong. So But again, in the NFL, you don't overreact. So that's week one. We'll let that go. We'll talk about week one later. But I wanted to kick off with something because today I've got two things. One of them is more on the somber side, and the other one is more on an obsession side. Something I've been obsessed with for, I think, almost a week now. And I don't even know if I talked about it on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
But I guarantee that when I bring this up, other people will look it up and become just as obsessed.
Phil has a new obsession.
A new obsession.
We should have our own reality. This is like a reality show. My new obsession. And you're here to reveal what your new obsession is.
It's not one of those where like
you're
the
in
guy
love
makes
with
out
your
with
car.
Car and shit like that. No, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Remember that? He introduced a car to his parents. He was like, hey, guys, I'm seeing her. And then he would like kiss.
That was the show.
That was ridiculous.
My secret obsession on like TLC. That was like people, like one guy who loved dressing up like a baby and had a baby room and he was always pretending to be a baby. And then another guy who was in love with his car and would lay down under.
And another one that would eat her couch cushions when she would get home because he was like obsessed with them. Like shit like that. I don't buy that for 1 sec. And the other one who would eat ashes out of an urn. Like honestly, it was ridiculous, man. but good time. So I'll tell you my obsession in a second. But first, on a more somber note, today's September 11. I don't know if you saw what DraftKings did earlier. I happen to see it on the timeline because it caused much ruckus. So DraftKings, and this is not what I want to talk about. I do want to talk about September 11 really quick because I know that, to be honest with you, in our generation, in our time, in our lives, it's probably the most significant world event that happened, to be honest, or the one that had the most impact on me, at least. I know you were probably old enough for sure to remember as well, because I was done high school when that happened.
I was in 11th grade, man, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was very young, like 16, basically an adult. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'll tell you what DraftKings did first that got people really fired up. It didn't get me fired up. I didn't see anything crazy about it, but anyways, you know how they always offer you these same game parlays, or they offer you these like these deals where you can take three teams.
They did not.
It's like pro line stuff. Yeah, they called it "We Will Never Forget" like parlay or something, and they put the New York Yankees, the New York Jets.
Why?
And who's the other New York team? Okay,
the Mets. Like, I don't know.
Whoever, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, like, no, it is. It is.
Like
it is.
Other,
it is.
A million other Rangers.
No, it's Mets. So
because the first game back after 9/11 wasn't it Yankees? Was it Yankees Red Sox
George
or Yankees
Bush.
Mets?
Yeah,
but the George one where Bush threw out the pitch, was it Yankees Red Sox or Yankees Mets?
I don't know who the second team was. It was definitely Yankees.
It was Yankees. Yeah. But that was like the coming back together.
So they put together a parlay that's called "We Will Never Forget" or something like that, and people are pissed. Like people are fuming. Listen, I don't think the intention was wrong, but it's not a day that people celebrate. Like it's not a day where, you know, okay, hundreds of thousands of people or soldiers died in the war, but you know, you eventually pulled through and you won, say, okay? Maybe you celebrate something like that, right? You know what I mean? But this was not something you celebrate. There's no parties tonight.
No, and it's even like even for other like it's a notable event, but even there's a lot of other notable events through the year that are also in a somber tone. And you don't like at least in Canada, like we also have Remembrance Day, which I think is Veterans Day in the US, but for us, it's way more important. And everybody, I think you have the day off now. I think it's a federal holiday, but there's no like, and you are supposed to, if you are able to go to some local ceremony or something like that.
Right. Wear the poppy and stuff like that.
Where we have a little, we wear poppy, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, if you don't, it's fine. You know, it's not forcing it like hardcore on everybody. But I don't think it would be appropriate for Tim Hortons to be like, it's, you know, it's the Remembrance Day, two for one. Timbits. Yeah. If anything, they would sell poppies. You know what I mean? Like they'd be like, today for everything that you buy, we'll give, you know, a dollar to the veterans or, you know what I mean? Like it'd be some kind of promo. So for like a DraftKings, something like that would make sense. That's like, hey, and you know, this will go to the 9/11 Memorial Fund or the Firefighters Fund or all the different stuff that's been set up. But yeah, every year that happens though, Phil.
Every single year. Yeah. Someone in that boardroom there, when they're trying to think of like future promotions, and it always makes you think, like, if I'm thinking maybe I'm different or maybe we're different, but if I was in a boardroom, because I've been to these war rooms. I've taken visits to like news stations where they go over the sports. Mm-hmm. It's not one person picking what makes it on SportsCenter. It's literally a room of people. It's like an open mic type of deal where you throw out what you think should be the lead story, what the big stories are, what else should be talked about, and people either agree or disagree, right?
Yeah. It's and like the editor's meeting. It's the editor, you know, or whatever that is for someone like a DraftKings that's putting down a slate. It's like like you're just like, okay, what themes and promos do you want to go with? Like, here's the number, here's the data guy in the data department. They're going to tell us this, and like, what do you think we should do? But Phil, what I will tell you is that, you know, I started working in social media, like marketing in 2009, before like anybody knew what it was, and when brands were just getting started with Facebook and Twitter accounts a very long time ago. And even all the way back then, these things would happen constantly. Every single September 11th, a handful of brands, like a JCPenney or something like that, would write some tweet that's like, today all our shirts are $9.11. Like, it'd always be like some messed up, like fucked up thing. And I actually pulled up one that I remember was the most like is so irrelevant. And this wasn't even a social media promo. This was from like the front desk of a Marriott hotel somewhere. And here I have it. It was, they put up a little, like just a little stand with a paper that said, in remembrance of those we lost on 9/11, the hotel will provide complimentary coffee and mini muffins from 8:45 to 9:15 a.m. Like, what the hell, man? Like, don't, like, why?
The times,
why?
Too, man. The times. The times is
the
when
times.
It all
like,
down,
like,
right?
That's really crazy. Like twisted. And yeah, it's not like, it's taste, not like, man, something, you know, it's not like something that happened 1500 years ago. You know what I mean? Where it's like, all right, well, whatever. It's pretty irrelevant for people today. You know what I mean? It's like, no, this is recent. Like, this is 22 years ago, right? So it's like, I don't know. I feel like that type of, anybody's planning to do a promo or anything like that, don't do it. Don't
it's just in bad. It's just not necessary. Right?
There's no way. It's, even if you think it'll go over well, like, why try and walk that line? It's completely unnecessary, unless it's something that's going to be like real benefit, you know, the survivors and the you know, the first response, all that kind of stuff. Unless it's a direct thing like that, which is, you know, usually pretty safe. Don't do it.
So where were you when 9/11 happened? I've always loved discussing this with people because everybody has their own. I would say some of the more significant events in our lifetime have been that. There's been the Osama bin Laden, obviously, the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden. I think also probably for me would be the O.J. Simpson trials, another place where I remember where I was when that verdict was announced. But I think 9/11 easily tops the cake. So where were you, and what do you remember?
It's not a comparable. It's not. It's really
not even
comparable.
Close. No.
Like, those are like individual. You know, even the Bin Laden thing is like, well, that's like a very individual. There's like one dude, you know, and very different. I was in class. I think I was in class. The teacher came in and was like, something's happening in the U.S. Like, we're all going to go watch in the library. That's actually one thing I think is kind of not funny, but like interesting to kind of note, is that, especially for like people that are younger today, is I don't really understand. It's like, we didn't have phones. There was no like Twitter to go rewatch it a million times. You wanted any kind of exposure to what's happening, you had to be watching TV. Like, there's no, and even people that didn't understand, you're trying to explain to other people, like, you know, other friends in the hallway, and they're kind of like, okay, like, sounds bad.
It wasn't a big
until
deal
they saw
first
it.
For most people, right?
Well, until they saw it, I think it's like, that's when it was a lot worse. But yeah, I mean, that was really messed up. And for people thinking that, you know, we're in Canada and that it happened in the U.S., like, listen, we were in Toronto. New York is a day's drive away. You know, we're so close. We're such close neighbors that it's like that. It felt like it was happening here. It didn't feel like it was happening far away, you know, because it wasn't.
Absolutely.
And also, it was going to, you know, whatever was going to happen in the U.S. as a result was going to directly affect us. And we ended up going to Afghanistan as well. Right. So it didn't feel like, oh, this is in another country. And a lot of the flights were diverted to Canada as well. Right. So we were able to help provide assistance, I think. But I remember like taking the subway home after being fucking scared, because it was like, this is, you don't know, you know, a couple hours later, people were like, well, it's not done, there's more coming. So, you know, other cities might be hit, other allied countries like Canada. Right. So it was, it was pretty scary.
If you're listening right now, I'd love to know where you guys were when 9/11 hit. I wish we had a show to discuss that one time, but it's not really our focus. And, you know, it's not something you really want to talk about. But for me, I remember I don't know if I had school or not that day. I was already in college. I don't know if I had school. Either way, when I started driving, I was so obsessed with driving that I would just drive everywhere. I was done high school. And I remember I would always offer mom a ride to work because our mom doesn't drive. She would always take the subway or the bus, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I offered to drive her to work. So I drove her to work. And on the way back, I was blasting, man, what station was it? Like, it was like AM 640 back then. Same station that had like Pillow Talk. They had music and stuff like that. And they kind of interrupted the broadcast to say that a plane had gone into the World Trade Center in New York, but that it was a small plane and there was smoke coming out. And I was like, holy shit, that's kind of crazy. So like you said, I wasn't able to whip my phone out and go on Twitter and immediately see
what. Yeah, there's no way to get more information. Right? I think that that's like another, you know.
Just the radio and what they're saying.
It really amplifies it,
And I actually got home and turned on the TV and sat on that little cabinet we used to have, like two steps from the TV. And I watched, and almost 2 or 3 minutes after I turned the TV on is when something else went into the towers. Like I saw it live. That was messed up. But I still didn't know what was going on. But when that happened, and I'll never forget it because the news people did not know what to say, right? They were just like, oh my God. Like they became humans now. They were no longer these news anchors that had to be proper and read off the prompter and they were in the raw now, right? That's when I started calling actually mom. I started calling dad. And no matter who I told, they were just like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's crazy. That's bad.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's like you didn't really understand it until you saw it.
Mm-hmm. I even called our grandpa, who was super obsessed with the news. But our grandpa used to sit down and have his coffee and read the newspaper for like 3 hours every morning. So
it's not happening.
He didn't have his TV on.
It's not going to be there until the next day. Yeah.
Until way later, to watch CNN. Like he used to love watching CNN. Yeah. But I remember I called him and I said, did you see what happened? Just because I know how much he loves the news and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I didn't hear. Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. You know, whatever. A story I haven't really told ever is that I was in New York City. I think almost right before it happened, first time ever in New York City for a visit. I had gone there for a visit and we left like 2 days before. And then that happened. So I had just been there and I actually went back, I'd say a month or two after it happened. And I actually went to the site of 9/11 and it was still, I mean, in complete shambles and it's an experience I'll never forget. But I remember the week after it happened, maybe 2 weeks after, I was so obsessed with watching the coverage. I think I stayed up all night, every night. I hooked up a TV in my room where I would plug it to the downstairs like cable thing and run a wire all the way up. And I wouldn't stop watching. I became super, super obsessed with it.
I think that that's also, you know, I think that it also really changed the way news was. Because I remember after that, like before, if ever you watched, like you never really had a reason to watch like a CNN. Unless they had like Larry King was doing an interview or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that was like a thing you'd turn to the news for, or like you're saying the rare live event, like OJ Chase or something like that. But it was like that. I remember after that being like being glued to the news often. And I think a lot of news stations didn't have like, you know, the ticker at the bottom. They didn't normally have that. They only had it during breaking news, but then I think a lot of them added it after that. Like they had it constantly. I think it created like this new need for news that we didn't have before in a weird way. And I think it's, I don't know if anybody's ever researched that, but I feel like it changed the way we consume media. Like you're saying it's, I think another thing too, that I remember, you know, cause I was 16 and it was horrific, but I also didn't grasp it the same way, you know what I mean, because you've only been like aware of being like a somewhat adult for like a couple years at that point, right? It was 7 years before that you're a child, so or even longer, you know, even recently. So I think it's like it was more like the reactions of adults as well that gave it like more context, like seeing teachers react. It's like you could tell that it's like, well, nothing's happened like that in their lifetime. And even our parents, it's like maybe like in terms of like, I think it was less so like, wow, this is like, there's the shocking part, but also like, what's going to happen now? Right. I think that was more, you know, a huge part of it as well. Or even something like, you know, other things, Bin Laden, whatever. It was like, well, he's dead now. You know what I mean? There's no like, oh, what happens now? It's what's over. Right. But I think the only other thing like that, at least from what I heard from our parents' generation, was like JFK. JFK was the only other thing that you're like, oh my God, like, what's going to happen now? Right. Because that's like really shocking. But, yeah, lots of love still for anybody who was who was affected by that. I think a lot of people had very similar experiences to us, and some people probably a lot closer than what we had as well. So
It's and it changed air travel forever, to be honest with you, right? I mean, all these things we go through now, these scanners where you put your hand up in like the aerobics position and like stuff like that, the shoes, all of that was because of 9/11. Like every time you go to the U.S., take your shoes off.
The shoes was that one guy.
the one shoe bomber guy
a year later, and it didn't work, but he got on the plane and started trying to light his shoe. It doesn't make fun of him. It was like that. And then I remember after that happened, they're like, okay, you have to take your shoes off now because the terrorists have found a new way that we never thought of, which is putting some kind of adhesive in their shoe. It was like, anyways, it was just a twisted
whole other story.
Awful. Well, always good to remember, and shame on DraftKings and anybody else who does anything like that.
It has kind of not lost its luster, because I don't want to be disrespectful like that, but I feel that as time passes and the new generations come along, it's like, it's not what it used to be. Like, I would not miss a single year before on 9/11 to stay home, watch CNN, and watch them read the list of every victim and do the ceremony. Now I don't do that anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I don't even know if they do that. I assume they still do some sort of ceremony, but I'm not as into it as I used to be as time passes. But at the same time, being respectful to it and how significant of an event it was for us, I still acknowledge it like that. But
it doesn't change its level of meaning.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's also people paying less attention to it is also, you could look at that in a positive way, that it's like, well, it's good to move on. You know what I mean? It's like you have to move on eventually from stuff like that, and it'd always be there, but you can't, you know, it's like, I think, you know, obviously mixed opinions on that, but I just mean that there can be a positive there. Anyways, Phil, let's move on from this. Let's chat. What's your new obsession? Can we just pull vault to that?
I am hoping that there's someone else out there, including yourself, that has been obsessed with this as much as I have for the last maybe week. I don't know if you heard about this, but in the state of Pennsylvania, there was a prisoner that escaped prison, a convicted murderer who did some really, really awful things. I think I brought it up last week. I'm almost sure I did. Okay. I don't know if I did or not, but I'm almost sure maybe I brought it up. Either way, this up. Okay. This prisoner, I'll give you the short notes on this, and I'm so confused as to how the national news has not been all over this. Okay. There will be movies and TV series that are better than Prison Break for what this guy's been able to do and what he's pulled off. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hate that we have to talk about this guy, because this guy's a real piece of shit, and he deserves everything he's got coming his way when he gets caught. He's easy to cheer for because of what he's done, but not because of what he's done to be in there. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. This guy started as an illegal immigrant from Brazil. He came into the US via Puerto Rico in 2018, 19, whatever. Okay. The reason he came to the US is because he killed somebody in Brazil. Okay. So he escaped to the US, got in with fake paperwork.
Yeah.
And was
nobody knew that he killed.
Established a life in the US, whatever. In 2021, he murders his girlfriend in front of her two young kids. Okay. He's something awful. He stabbed her 38 times, whatever the hell it was. And he told the two kids that he would come back for them one day. Okay. Just to really mess up their lives even more. So this guy somehow got caught. He gets sentenced to life a couple of weeks ago, and he gets sentenced.
He somehow got caught. Yeah, of course he got caught.
Well, but you're going to know why I'm saying that based on what's going on right now. So this guy gets sent to whatever prison in Pennsylvania, Chester County, Pennsylvania. And about 2 weeks ago now, almost, he just vanishes from the prison. He was only supposed to be there for a week or two until they transfer him to like some massive state prison. Okay. Right. Like high security, whatever. But he was in a place with other murderers and whatever. He vanished without a trace. Now they released the video, and I don't know if you've seen the video, but this is what started really captivating the audiences. They released the video of how this guy got out. He's 5 feet tall, 120 pounds. And when they were in the yard playing basketball in the morning, he literally Spider-Man himself up a wall. You got to pull up the video.
I'm looking for it.
You have to show this video. Just write fugitive escape and you'll see the video somewhere and you'll be able to pull it up. he was able to just climb this brick wall by putting his feet in the back and his hands in the front and just Spider-Maning himself up to the roof, where in his pants was a huge blanket. He put the blanket mm-hmm. over the barbed wire, mm-hmm. ended up climbing over that, rappelled himself down to the ground in a less secure part of the prison, and escaped into the forest without anybody noticing, despite there being guards on guard in the tower and all that. Nobody noticed until 2 hours later that he was gone. Okay. So when I heard this, I hadn't seen the video yet, but I was like, oh, I love Prison Breaks just because of the show Prison Break. So I'm like, you know what? This is pretty cool to follow. Where could this guy be? So they set up a perimeter, because on foot in this wooded area, you cannot get far. Okay. And for those who want to look it up on Twitter and be just as fascinated, this guy's name is Danilo Cavalcante. Here we go. Watch this video.
There he goes.
Watch the way this guy, first of all, I don't even know why he's not wearing prison stuff. Like, that's ridiculous. Look at the way. Look at the way he leaves. Like, literally, just vanished. Okay.
Nobody. Is that the only video? Is that the only video of him escaping?
It's the only one they've shown so far. Okay. They have more video. All right. So this guy, all right, and here's the kicker. Back in May, another prisoner had escaped the exact same way. And do you know what the prison's response was? To add barbed wire on the roof that they could not climb even if they got up there. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy got over it, okay? Mm-hmm. So now he escapes, all right? And the chase is on. So, mm-hmm. you know, they surround the area. He can't be very mm-hmm. far. He's on foot. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. crazy terrain around there. There are houses, farms, shit like that. Mm-hmm. So days 4 and 5 pass, and they're trying to guess where he is. They're blocking off all the railroads. They're checking all the trains, all the creeks, everything. They can't find this guy, mm-hmm. okay? But he's been spotted in the first 3 days on people's Ring cameras, on people's mm-hmm. trail cameras, on hunting mm-hmm. cameras, all that. He has been spotted 3 or 4 times, okay? Mm-hmm. He also now has a backpack and other stuff, all right? This guy has been breaking into people's houses and shit and just helping himself to food, clothes. He even got a cell phone, all right? And he got close. So anyway, so the cop, now it's really drawing attention. Hundreds of cops end up there. And I'm going to keep this really short. I'll let you guys read the summary of the story because I could go on all day of the specific events that happened.
What the fuck is going on?
But there's one guy who said that his kids were really scared that the guy would show up at their house. And they couldn't even stay in a room by themselves. And he kept telling them, don't worry, whatever. Right. One night, obviously, he heard noise downstairs. He went, opened the light. The guy was in the kitchen, actually in this guy's house. Then the guy shut the light in the kitchen and just proceeded to continue taking stuff. And then just took
it. Okay.
Kids are traumatized for life, he said. Anyways.
Yeah.
Fast forward now, the FBI is involved. They've sent Black Hawk helicopters in. They've sent the Border Patrol team, SWAT team, from Mexico-US border, who are trained like crazy guys that will find the all these illegal immigrants that cross in the wildest terrain. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is like a 100% unit that never not find somebody. We're talking 500 members of law enforcement now have converged on this little town. And I've set up a perimeter to find this guy. On day 8, we are at 9 spottings, including 2 in person by the cops, and they still cannot get him. Okay. And we're talking LG, it's 40 degrees Celsius outside in that area. Mm-hmm. There was a heat wave last mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. There's bugs. There's enough bugs in there to actually kill you if you're mm-hmm. in there for too long.
Yeah.
And this guy, 9 days in, is still going. So I've been, and guess what? The media is not following it. You know who's following it? These YouTube journalists. Okay. They're like literally in the middle of the action. They each have like 30 or 40,000 people watching their every stream because people are obsessed. And you know what they do? They go around like the forest at night near the perimeter and they're like, have their lights on and they're like,
that seems so dangerous.
Well, the cops would like come up. Man. One cop snapped at the guy. He's like, the guy's like, we're pressed. And the guy's like, well, what the hell, man? He's like, get out of here. He's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
he's like, we're allowed to be here. Right. But yeah, so they've been actually really criticized and they've actually been praised because the media is not following it. So if you want to know about this story, now actually a lot of the residents in that area have really thanked these people saying, this is the only news we're getting. Cops are not telling us anything. We're all terrified. All the school boards are shut down in the area. Wow. Life has stopped because, man, people are reporting everything. They're like, there's a noise in my garage and they have to go check all these things out. So anyways, we're at day 8 or 9. This guy's somehow still alive. He's going by on cameras, like looking fresh to death. All right. So he ends up in this place called Longwood Gardens. This is a gigantic.
And you really know you are one of the YouTube reporters.
Oh, I
wish. This is. I don't know why you're doing anything else right now other than driving down there and reporting on this.
If I was,
I don't know why you're here.
If I was closer, I would have been there in 2 seconds. And I'm actually not that far. Pennsylvania is not far from us. Yep. But these two are doing a good job. There's two main guys. Anyways, so. So they think he's in Longwood Gardens now. Okay. This is a very famous tourist place that has all these crazy. If you look up Longwood Gardens, LG, you'll see it's beautiful. It looks like Billy Madison's house in Billy Madison. You know those fountains and all that? So they've got fountains, they've got gardens. It looks like you're in a medieval setting.
Like that.
Right. It's wild. Longwood Gardens. Up the images of Longwood Gardens. Like, look at that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. It goes for acres and acres and acres. There's cornfields, strawberry fields, apple fields.
It looks like forest. A place that they would shoot Pride Billy and Prejudice Madison. Or something like that. Or what's anyways, go on.
Yeah. So they've spotted him here. Okay. So all the helicopters converge. These YouTube guys are right on the scene. Okay. They're right where the cops have blocked off. All the cops are holding their huge assault rifles, pointing them at the forest in case he comes running out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, while on the live stream, they get a call that he's been spotted on the construction site there. So you see about 100 cop vehicles fly by. Okay. They fly to the scene. They surround Longwood Gardens and they now announce that this guy, he's been spotted there and it's just a matter of time. So everyone's like, oh man, this thing's over. All right, great. They're going to get him. Okay. They now call off 200 or 300 officers because the others have surrounded Longwood Gardens. They have all the farmers cut their crops a month early and lose all the money because they need to be able to see.
They need to be able to see. Otherwise, you can just hide in the corn.
The corn crops, you could hide in there forever. You'll never be found. And you could hear
like the movie Signs or something like that, where the aliens can hide. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what? They said, we're just going to surround it. And I'm talking, LG, every 20 yards, a cop car facing the forest in case it comes out. Like it was exaggerated how many cop cars they had facing the forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 2 days pass and he's still in there. Okay. So a lot of people say there's underground tunnels on this property for the sprinkler systems. So this guy could be in there. Okay. He's obviously been sleeping somewhere because he's not scared to sleep. So he also has a really good spot. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's broken two or three walls on the property because he keeps climbing walls and shit. He's eating all the fruits that he finds. And so he's well fed in there. Like he's living. But they've got him surrounded. So I wake up yesterday morning and I do my usual Twitter search of what the hell's going on with this guy. Mm-hmm. There is a picture or pictures of him. He is now fully shaved and shaved his head. Mm-hmm. And he is 40 or 25 miles outside of the perimeter. The perimeter is still fully set up. And this guy is now gone. He escaped the perimeter of 300 cops surrounding one property.
Oh,
okay.
God.
And he made it to a local farm, stole their dairy truck and took off with the dairy truck, having changed his complete appearance. And now he's showing up people's houses on their Ring camera, people he knows, trying to get help. Okay.
Oh my God.
Now he ditched the van as of yesterday evening, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. No more gas. See ya. He ditched the van and now they have absolutely no idea where he is. None. So now you went from a tiny little community scared for their lives.
God.
The family of the girl he killed and her kids have been barricaded in their house
since he
got out. With full-time law enforcement watching the property because they're terrified. He said he'd come back for them and they're terrified. This guy has nothing to lose. And now they don't know where he's going. They said he might try and make a run for Mexico or he might come to Canada. They don't know. It's easy to get in on a freight train because freight trains outside of their yards are never secure. Sometimes when the hours of the conductors have expired and they can't drive anymore, they leave it where it is and the new crew comes in. And nobody's watching the train. So this is still going on.
Jeez.
We're on day 13 right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, huge failure from law enforcement. Whoever's running that thing is in big shit because there's no way that this guy with 500, law enforcement got away from a forest, right? Dog the Bounty. I kept saying in the stream, I'm like, somebody called Dog, Leland, and Youngblood. I kept saying that. I was like, Dog. Uh-huh. And then Dog ended up on Fox News. He's like, I would end this in 2 seconds. He goes, you bring the bloodhounds in and it is over. He goes, the bloodhounds can find the scent of a person 5 years later. Think about that. He's like, it's insane. And they never use bloodhounds in this search.
No.
So this guy is long gone now. Okay. He could be dressed as a woman. You'll never find the guy. And he's on the loose. And now people are just terrified. They keep setting up perimeters thinking they're going to find him again, but they had their chance. He's gone. This will be, you know, again, a lot of people are cheering for this guy, not knowing what he did to get in there. If he was a drug dealer or someone who had committed that kind of crime, I mean, you'd have the whole country behind him in terms of like, man, this is amazing, sure, right? Maybe. And it is amazing, to be honest with you. But it's not amazing in the sense that you hope he gets caught and he gets brought to justice. You can't cheer for a guy like that, is what I'm saying, right?
No.
But you're right. This is my vibe, man. If I could, I would have been down there 100% on every scene like that, just going nuts from the scene, man.
this is where, like, you know, another hit show from the 90s we never talk about is America's Most Wanted. Yes. You know what I mean? And it would come on after Cops creepy. Or like before Cops. Yeah. And that was like I remember Saturday nights, it was like you could watch Cops and then America's Most Wanted and then Mad TV like late at night. And it was like, that was such a fantastic like slate of TV when you're like 12.
That's right.
You know, or older maybe. But I you know, and the America's Most Wanted stuff was always like, it was really twisted because they tell you all the stuff that people did. You'd be like, that's so messed up, you know, and then it would actually help. People would get caught because of America's Most Wanted because it was a hit show and people would watch it and they'd be like, I know that guy, or I saw that guy at the store, right? So it actually kind of perpetuate. You think in today's age of like social media, it's a lot easier to catch people like that, right? Like we had those killers in Canada a couple years ago, the year that you came to visit, who were just like randomly killing people on the highway in northern BC and then made their way across Canada. And then same thing, the cops were like a couple of days behind them and were always like not close to catching them, but then they eventually just went too deep into the bush in Manitoba, like literally the most central part of Canada north-wise, into like it, and they were there in the summer where it's like the black flies are probably the size of your thumb and are like just taking chunks out of you, and it's like really extreme exposure, and I don't think they had outdoor skills, so they I think they eventually found their bodies, but they did. You know, never brought them to justice. Yeah, so
this guy does though. This guy actually grew up in the Brazilian Amazon as like a farmer, so he's got tons of experience surviving in the wild. And you know what he actually did, LG? I'll just end it on this. When he left, he's not stupid. When he left the jail, he went to a local gas station. Okay, and I guess he walked in and helped himself to shit. I don't know what the fuck he did. Anyways, he knew they would know he was there. When he left that gas station, instead of heading away from the prison, do you know what he did? He headed right back a mile towards the prison because he knew that when the cops saw him on camera at that gas station, they figured the only way he's going is away from the prison and continue up north or wherever. Okay.
That's classic. Yeah.
This Joker went right back towards the prison on the outside of the prison.
Oh, God, man.
And they were setting up perimeters way off of where he actually was. And he was traveling by the rivers and stuff. He used all this river system to maneuver around. But it kills me that they surrounded him. They saw him. Like someone chased him into the bush. Think about that. Like what? And they weren't able to get him. I can't wait to hear the story of how he escaped that perimeter. And apparently, plot twist, his sister, who is also illegal in the US and has now been arrested and will be deported. Okay. His sister, in the first couple days of the search, showed up and tried to enter the perimeter with a U-Haul truck.
She showed up
and entered with a U-Haul truck and was successful and was turned around. And that leads me to believe he's had help and a cell phone actually the whole time, right? Apparently the cell phone he had, he kept turning it on and turning it back off. So they would know where he is for like 2 seconds, then he'd be long gone.
Come on, man.
It's pretty bad. It is. This day and age, I'm like, hold on. Here in Ontario, when there's like someone running from the law, it happens all the time, and it's nighttime, they use infrared, okay? They will go over the forest and investigate everything that shows heat.
Yeah.
And I said this in the YouTube chat, and I got destroyed. People were like, you don't know anything about infrared. It's too hot.
I
want to
see you in the YouTube
chat. The YouTube chat was so out of control. Like, man, the things people were saying, people were like, there he is. There he is. They're like, look, there he is.
What are we even talking about, man? What are we even going on about?
I haven't been able to go a single day without all day refreshing for the news on this. And I've contacted a lot of my buddies near Philly. I'm like, give me news. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, about the escape guy. They're like, we don't even know what you're talking about. So that's how much people are following. But anyways, I hope someone else out there has followed this story. It's been fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, at least. I know it's giving you tons of entertainment these days, but I really hope they catch him soon before he hurts anybody else. Okay. So I'm happy for you to have a great story to follow, but hopefully it ends really soon. Cause
I agree, man. It's not, especially again, considering what he did. If this guy had just been some sort of like, you know, a couple of armed robberies of like a convenience store, some bullshit like that, it'd be like, whatever.
Still crimes, yeah.
No, it's a crime. It's a crime. But what I'm saying is this is a crime that even some of the most hardcore criminals wouldn't commit what he did. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's no,
totally it's a murderer. It's a violent crime.
Right? It's a horrific murderer. Yeah,
So, all right. But again, I can't wait for the TV show though. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know there's going to be something on like HBO or whatever, and I'll be right there. So anyways.
Man, Phil, all right. You know, you really know how to fill the first 40 minutes of the podcast. I'll tell you that much today. Jeez, I thought, when you said I have all these surprises to talk about, I thought it was going to be like fun, weird shit. And this is just like, this is dark. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a good start. I mean, it's a good start. I think people will find it entertaining as they usually do, especially when it's a Phil story, but you know what I'm saying? Hard pivot. All right, everybody take a breath and reset. You know what I mean?
World Cup of basketball.
Let's bring it West Coast for a second. Okay. Everybody, let's reset the room. Let's set our intentions. Okay. Everybody just take a breath. Get reset or all that stuff. Stop thinking about it. World Cup of basketball. FIBA. USA finishes fourth. Dylan Brooks drops 39 points on them in the bronze medal game. And now, Phil, what has happened this morning as a result? What is your favorite person to make news about themselves? What has he done shift the focus from the World Cup back to himself?
Because this is what LeBron James does. As much as I like LeBron James, when the spotlight is not on him, he's always waiting in the wings with everything. We always mention this. It started with him saying he thinks he can win a Stanley Cup. Okay, that bullshit was like 2 years ago. Because it's boring in the summer.
That was going into the summer. And then we didn't hear about him through the summer.
He thinks one day he'd really love to win one of these. Like, come on. And now he's announced that after all these guys who played for Team USA at this World Cup and earned the United States a spot in next year's Olympics by getting as far as they did, he announced that him, and I saw a list of like 10 different players, all had interest in playing for the Olympic team in Paris next year and doing that. Okay. And the list of players is extensive. I don't know how many are actually interested in doing it. But
I think if he's recruiting them, then it's different. Because it's always felt like players committing to the Olympic team is kind of like people trying to go to like a party, but you're not sure if it's going to be good or not, where it's like, okay, well, if this guy says yes, then I'll go. But if that guy's out, I'm not going to go. Like, it's always kind of felt that way with the US team, right? Where it's like, so some years the team is great, other years it's really weird. But this, now they're saying that like LeBron has recruited KD and Steph. So it's like basically the other two biggest names, at least American names in the league, right? So that's an indicator then that, you know, ideally, well, maybe other of the top old players would want to play for this team. But Phil, my question to you is if you ignore the guys in their 20s, okay, forget, just ignore like a Tatum or a Booker or any of those guys for a second. And let's just say it's only the LeBron generation guys, like LeBron, KD, Steph, like even like a Lillard or a Kyrie, even who Kyrie is what, like 32 now, you know what I mean? He's not that young. How good would that team actually be? And again, it's in a year. This is another year of basketball on everybody's body. So that's a 21st year on LeBron's body of basketball. That's, you know, KD, Steph still looks at a good clip. KD, there's a 50% chance he'll be injured every year, right? How good would that team actually be?
Well, I heard the names Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, guys like that. Apparently, they're all part of this package LeBron's put together, okay?
Yeah, if they go, then I think that's more promising. But if it's just the old guys, I don't know about that.
Well, here's the deal. Like we've seen in other sports, and I refer back to soccer for this, like Real Madrid used to do this back in the day, is they would stack their team with every possible megastar in the planet and put them all on the same team. And you know what it led to? It led to complete disasters when it came to like big championships, like the Champions League. Okay.
Yeah.
New York Rangers used to do the same thing in the NHL.
Yes.
Stack up their teams Rangers, like there's no tomorrow. Yes. Yeah. And they got like one cup out of it. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't always work. And what I saw and what I learned the most from watching the World Cup that we just watched is two things. The international game is so different to the point where guys who don't play in the NBA but play at the international level, they look better than the NBA guys most of the time because of, I don't even know what it is. They're just so smooth with the European game. And the officiating, or the international game, the officiating is also horrendous. And you have to learn how to cope with it. And yeah. I felt
and it's that, not NBA yeah. refs who know no. how to do it and know right. that the league wants LeBron no and Steph and KD yeah. to do well. You know what I mean? Like that they there's no it's not like that. These are international refs and they don't give a fuck. No, you know, and the IOC doesn't give a shit about no, the Team USA. No.
Exactly. But what I did see is if you saw the final between Serbia and Germany, okay, wonderful mm-hmm. that Germany won because, mm-hmm. You know, incoming Raptors guard.
Dennis Schröder. I think that that's MVP another thing that set LeBron off because he played with Schröder in the last couple right. years.
And nothing panned out. Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell? Like, how yeah. is it that like Dennis Schröder and Franz Wagner are like leading the team to victory? Like, what the hell kind of, and Dylan Brooks is dropping 39 points on the US. Like, God.
And winning defensive player of the tournament too.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But what I saw is like a team like Serbia who ended up making Canada look pretty awful in that game and oh, yeah. who came up just short in the final. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the other Serbian players that were not there, mm-hmm. like Nikola Jokic for one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And who's the other one? There was another significant player not playing for Serbia. Anyways, that's a team that the US would stand no chance against just because the style of play. Okay. Mm-hmm. The US, the problem with, you know, teams like that have all superstars is there's too many superstars, right? Who gets the big shot at the end? You know, you're really going to tell LeBron he's not taking that shot. If not, who takes it? It's just different, right?
And especially when it's made up of guys who are used to functioning like that,
but
on
that's
their
it.
Team. It's that's not it. That they wouldn't be able to right. do that. It's more so that all them, like, especially these guys who are all the number ones on their team, like the Tatums and the Lillards mm-hmm. and all those guys. It's like, they've always played in a system where it's like, well, they're the go-to guy. They're the main scorer. Some nights they won't be, but the idea that it's like, well, no, you're just like, you're going to like, your job is to go out there, defend and put up like three buckets a game mm-hmm. is like, I think that that's really hard to process.
It's true though, right? That's
you
just
know,
not how they're
programmed.
Adapt
your style to that, to yeah. not hog the ball or not take the shot every possession. Well, right.
Because in high school, they were the megastar. In college, they
of course,
were the
and they always have been.
And on their yeah. NBA teams yeah. are megastars, right? And there's always personality clashes. Mm-hmm. You could tell Steve Kerr wasn't able to work his magic with that group there, right? So mm-hmm. it starts weighing on you. But yeah, I do love how LeBron just swept right in. Okay. Didn't even say like congrats to the guys who earned us
no,
that spot.
No.
He's
no,
like, all right.
Even just congrats.
We got this. Moves. Yeah. All right. We'll take it over next summer. All of you who played this summer, mm-hmm. take a hike. But none of you guys are on this team. Here's my squad, right? Oh, as yeah. if he's yeah. the big boss. That's typical LeBron. Mm-hmm. But this would be his last Olympics, I'm sure of it. And also, I think, you know, with Canada, what really interested me was that Jordy Fernandez, who I thought was a tremendous coach. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a way better job than Nick Nurse even ever did with this team. And he really, really looked solid. That guy's a future NBA coach. I'll put money on that right now. That guy's straight up going to be
a good, really good performance. Yeah. Yeah.
He said after, he pretty much gave Andrew Wiggins the massive FU. He didn't say Andrew Wiggins, but he said that when the Olympics would come around next summer, every single guy that was here right now at this World Cup mm-hmm. would be prioritized. Right. Their loyalty would be prioritized over anyone else.
Right.
Whether that means Jamal Murray is included or not in that group, mm-hmm. I'd say no, because Jamal Murray still showed up to the camps, mm-hmm. showed interest, but then used the bullshit excuse that he has to prepare for the season.
Prepare for the season. Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about that. Anyways. I don't want to talk about that guy. It's not this true. Guy, that's typical Jamal Murray. Yeah. Having said that, if Canada is in the Olympics, which they are for the first time since 2000 next summer, mm-hmm. you are not coming close to a medal without Jamal Murray. Okay. That's
no, yeah. I think that's a good point. I think it'd still be, I think our team would be really good, like even as it is, like it'd still be pretty competitive. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you definitely need him. And like Andrew Wiggins or not, it would not hurt to have him.
Yeah, but the problem with Andrew Wiggins is his head's not into it. So you're almost
his head's not in. He had some messed up shit happen to him this season.
I don't know what that guy does. He'll do another shit. So,
yeah, he had some problems with his family and stuff this year.
Right, that's right. No, you're right. I remember that.
Found
right?
out his kid wasn't his.
Yeah.
Everybody that's read right. about that. It was pretty fucking messed that's up, ridiculous. Man. That's why
it's
he was a
storyline.
Yeah, for sure. But that's, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though. You're right. Yeah, this is not, we don't need him. But
it was very promising the because these teams like Germany and Serbia is just like, before the tournament, you'd have been like, who are these guys? Right? Like, Schröder? No, that's not enough to take you to a championship.
Yeah.
And sweep through the whole tournament to the point where they never lost a game. mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But that's the international game. They're very mm-hmm. well coached. They're very well played mm-hmm. as a unit. They have a mm-hmm. system that works in that style of game. And the Olympics are going to be the exact same. The Olympics are not in North America next year. They're in France, right? In Paris. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very much the international game again. And I think this time, because LeBron is leading, you know, the Monstars out and the whole crew to the you know, I can't wait to see what he does. Probably going to release a sneaker. He's going to have a name.
Well,
for the team. That's not the dream team. He's going to have some other name for them.
Yes. Banana boat team. They should bring Carmelo out of retirement.
No, Carmelo was there hanging out with Superfan. Did you see that?
Oh yeah. That's right. No, I say get Carmelo out, man. You know what I honestly think it is? I think that LeBron has already started filming a documentary about his last couple years, and that this is going to be like a last dance, that it's like, okay, all these, because he's also realized that it's like him and his rivalries with Steph and KD and all this, like his whole era of the league is ending because those guys aren't MVPs anymore. Those guys don't make the finals anymore. Maybe, you know, maybe Warriors, but again, the Lakers beat them. And then it's getting harder and harder and less likely, especially with so many up and coming players. So I think instead of trying to win the title, it's like, you know, it's actually more interesting is all those players banding together for one last dance at the Olympics, the last time they'll all play together. You know what I mean? Like this full thing. And actually, instead of like turn, because LeBron just wants to win championships and he just wants to rig the game to have as many good players on his team as possible. That's really hard in the NBA. They signed Christian Wood. That's a good signing, but there's only so many other things they've done to ensure the Lakers actually being good this year. But you know where you can win is the Olympics, and also make it exciting. Tell all the other countries, all the other NBA players from those countries, like, you better go and play for your team. I want you in the finals. You know, tell Jokic that, right? And I think
they would show up. I'm positive that these guys now on the stage of the Olympics, if a LeBron commits with his dream team, you're going to have guys like Jokic and all that. They're all showing up.
Yeah, and then release like a documentary leading up to it. That's like a Hard Knocks thing that kind of like recaps all his phone calls, calling people shit. I love the idea. I just want to tell you, I love the idea of players calling each other to recruit them. I don't know if you remember hearing about this, but when Kawhi went to the Clippers or was going to go to the Clippers but didn't want to go without another star, about his phone calls to other players. And how he called like James Harden and tried to get him to come to
Paul George.
No, but he tried James Harden. James Harden said no. So then he went to Paul George. He might have tried a few others, but I would just love to listen to that phone call. I just want to know how Kawhi gets on the phone with a Harden. I just want to hear that phone call between James Harden and Kawhi Leonard.
Well, not just that. What about Drake when he brought like KD on stage? Remember that? That's another form of recruiting. Not the same, but like he brought him up. He's like, oh, I'm going to get away with this. Hey, crowd, would you love to see this guy in Toronto? Like,
tampering.
All right, you're fine, 250K. But yeah, no, nothing. I'm obsessed. That's another obsession of mine, is these behind-the-scenes documentaries on Netflix or Amazon or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's one for everything now. I love the golf one they just had on Netflix. I love the Tour de France one they had on Netflix.
Yes.
I've watched the Tour de France forever. I've never seen behind-the-scenes how it actually operates to be on a team. And your expectations every race. Mm-hmm. And you actually get to see the personality of these guys. Like some of these guys, you just see them on TV and you don't know how they really
are. That is the hottest thing you could be making in sports media right now, is behind the scenes drama documentary, Drive to Survive, Last Dance, True Crime, Aaron Hernandez. Like that's the Netflix will pay like an insane premium for that. So LeBron might even have a deal lined up already with Apple or something like that to like, because if you're LeBron and you're like, I'm gonna go play at the Olympics, I'm currently recruiting Steph and KD and everybody, and you have your media company like he does, then what you do is you go to Apple's and Amazon's and everybody who's trying to win, gain ground on the streaming wars, and you tell them, be like, all right, listen, I'm gonna start filming this documentary. Do you want to buy it? Do you want to finance it, right? And then you just make buckets from that.
I agree. I love those things. I can never get enough of those things. And there's more coming. There's all sorts of sport is being covered now. Tennis was covered, and we knew Nick Kyrgios, but now we got to see Nick Kyrgios even more. And I think you respect him a little bit more because his psycho side is shown in that. But you also see kind of like where it all comes from and
where
why
it's coming
he's
from.
Kind of why he's like that. Why he grew up to the point where now he's like this nasty guy all the time, but off the court he's not like that. Do you know what I mean? So you kind of get a better understanding where more people are just like, you know, oh, this guy's just being an asshole all the time. But, you know, he still is. But, like, you know, you still get a better understanding. I loved it, man. You know, you find out people are dating other people and shit. You don't see any of that when you watch tennis, right?
Yeah,
like, it's crazy. Exactly. But, yeah, I agree. This LeBron's definitely up to something, man. He's been way too quiet lately.
Everything is done with a purpose with that guy. There's no like he's just doing it. You know.
I do love LeBron. Like I respect everything he's done. You know, the guy never gets.
Oh, it'll be so different when he's gone. It'll be so different when he's not in the league.
Tremendous player. And I saw people bashing that thing. You know that school he opened in Akron? Yeah. Was it in Akron or is it in LA? I don't know where the school actually is.
Yeah.
And they said that like not a single student passed like the grade 7 like statewide test. It wasn't a state. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. It said zero students at the school passed. Everyone's like, oh man, what kind of bullshit school is he running there? Mm. But what people don't know is that the kids at that school are like special needs students. They're not like crazy like scholars. They're all special needs students that are not expected to pass a test like that. Mm-hmm. So things always get spun out of context with LeBron. We make fun of him all the time because it is hilarious how much he loves the attention. Right?
Anyway, like, the pariah like that, you do. Right? That's what comes with the territory, and he loves it. He'd rather people be making fun of him and praising him than not talking about him at all.
I was excited that news came out because I'm like, it wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for LeBron and his captainship. I mean, he basically named himself to the team and listed all the guys that need to come with him. Before probably even talking to basketball,
he needed to kick off his news cycle, so he knows he has enough respect to not try and make himself the story during the tournament.
Yes,
right. He is
shockingly though
smart because he doesn't want people to think that that's bad. He doesn't want people to think that he's trying to take attention away while these guys are playing and he's not. But he waited until the morning after, and was like, "All right, you know, there's 6 weeks, 5 weeks until the NBA season. Time to start making things about me," and just has a whole line of things that he has ready to go to announce to the world or whatever. Here's a question for you: what's happening with Bronny? Because Bronny collapsed at practice and had like a heart problem. What happened? What happened since then? Is he okay? I think he's okay.
And he's been cleared to kind of resume activities. They said he should be back at USC, but they didn't say if it'll be this year or next year. So it's not clear. Wow. They're keeping it really tight, in terms of, but they did release what the cause was. It was all medical terms. I'm like, I don't even know what this means. So I probably have to look into it, but it seems that he's fine, man. I'm not sure what happened.
Damn.
It is kind of scary.
That's still a lot of ground lost too, right? Because there's a lot of hype around Bronny that it's like, okay, it's going to be his year. And then he's going to go to the NBA next year. And he's going to, you know, LeBron is going to go somewhere, you know, to play with his kid, whatever that is. So I feel like that whole narrative has lost a lot of steam, obviously, because you don't know what's going on with Bronny and when or if he's going to play. And I feel like that's been mainly that to me is the only question about LeBron at this point. Like maybe he could win another championship, but I don't see that happening. So it's like mainly like how is he going to end his career on his
terms? We're in for some major like chaos the next 4 years. Trust me. Like you said, everything from the Olympics to him trying to win another title.
He's
going to
play for another 4 years.
I do because I think his other son is coming to the NBA too, and I think he's going to wait for that. I told you this before. Listen,
what's
he
going to do?
He saw Tom Brady. He saw Tom Brady.
Yeah, but Tom Brady, that's completely
doesn't matter.
Man.
LeBron is in that circle of mega superstar athletes. There's
but
only
Tom Brady
few...
was still good. Okay. Tom Brady was still good through
those
that.
LeBron. Look at LeBron's numbers. He's
yeah, but that's
good.
It's very different to just, you know, take a couple hits a game and throw the ball than it is to jump up and down.
Yeah.
And hit shots. You know what I mean? Like it's people protecting Brady for sure. You know what I mean? And players are respectful enough, but it's like you in football, your body gets abused from other people. So they can hold up a little bit if they're going to hit you. In basketball, other people don't hurt you. Sure, they bump you, but it's you hurt yourself, you know, through the use of your body. So I don't know. I don't know. I agree, but it's like, is he going to come off the bench as he gets worse?
Nope. He'll find a team that will take him and Bronny. Doesn't matter who the hell they are. He'll pick a little
a team that's
somewhere.
Willing
probably
to
go back to Cleveland. I'll be honest. He'll probably end up back in Cleveland. I want you on a bet on that, right? Like another running.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. I mean, yeah, why not? Yeah.
They got nothing to lose over there, right?
One final time. Yeah. Exactly.
They're not winning titles either way. So I might, why not bring all the hype back, bring Bronny there, back the hometown kids, you know, where everybody was, you know, I think it's going to happen. It'll be fun to follow. That's for sure. But yeah, a lot of good basketball stuff coming up, man. That's for sure. What else?
Absolutely. Well, there's other things. Okay. There's a lot of sports. Football, like, listen, football. We don't have to talk that much about football because the only thing we've talked about is football for the last like 2 weeks. So I feel like everyone's got enough NFL coverage. I don't know if they need like our hot takes any more than we gave at the beginning. Like, and we're not, you know, super football experts or anything like that. So I think we can actually skip that for now.
Can I just say one thing about football?
Okay, yes.
Before you get into your next thing. Yeah. I just have to bring up, because not everyone's privy to the private discords and all that.
Okay.
But if you've been following the First Mint recently, you will have noticed a new partnership with All Day, All Night.
Oh, I do want to talk about that. Yeah. Okay. I do want to talk about First Mint at one point. Yes.
Yeah. So new partnership, great guys. Yeah. Some of our really good friends that were day ones with the First Minute from the beginning, mm-hmm. who run the All Day All Night show, which is a podcast, mm-hmm. which is a Spaces. And I guess
it's just All Night show now.
It's just All Night show. I saw the name change.
All Day is gone. They don't want to just talk about All Day. They want to be ready to talk about other things.
Perfect. So they are now partnered with the First Mint. Okay. This is
recently. It's not, that's not what it is. It is. It is. Partner is not the official term. Yes. It really doesn't matter what the official term is, but they're part of the network, which to me is way more than partner. A partner is an example of a partnership is like NFL All Day, where we're making content for them to promote them. Right. It's like, that's a partnership. There's an exchange, whatever, you know, but this, with these guys, this is different. What we're doing is we're starting the First Mint network, and we've never really done this, Phil. Like, most of the content has always come from me or you or like people who have written for us in the past, but it's always been, hey, this is First Mint. It's usually the same kind of bucket of stuff. We've evolved the show and the newsletter here and there, mm-hmm. but otherwise it's always kind of been, you know what you're getting from the First Mint. Now what we're doing, and this is like, this is kind of like a bear market, but also a bull market move, is that I really believe in strength and numbers, and I also really believe in individual content creators, right? I think that like brands these days, especially in crypto, like can only go so far. I think it's really up to people, and even the projects that we follow, the people that work there that are running those projects, that matters a lot more to us than what the project is actually doing. And I think that that goes from the projects to the content creators to the community, whatever it is. So what I wanted to do this year, especially going into the sports season, is add some new voices. And the thing is that like football is fantastic. People love football. You and I could talk football, but I think it made a lot of sense to have a dedicated resource Absolutely. To football being Yes. the biggest sport in North America. Sorry, cricket, soccer people. But basically, and to have people that are experts covering a project that is near and dear to us in All Day and you know, an adjacent community to us. And have them fully focused on it. And also so basically the First Mint Media Network is expanding. It's taking its first expansion step. And the first step of that is the All Night Show with 90s, Mr. X, Stone Cold and Smurf Diesel have been doing this for a year. They all met in First Mint. So it's beautiful. They're all born out of there.
It's authentic. In terms of,
it's authentic. And that's what I believe in, is having more voices on First Mint. And over time, I'd love for us to have many other shows that focus in specific areas, so that people that come to First Mint who want to just talk football and talk all day, they have a place for that. And we've also been able to bring what we see as the best creators in that space onto the network, and eventually then be able to do things as a network, right? To do things as First Mint Media Network. Let's say we have five different shows or newsletters or whatever, have all those people on. So hopefully you'll see more creators coming on soon, but the first step of that, you know, the most logical people was the All Night guys. And you can catch them every Tuesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right on Spaces. We'll often be retweeting it, share it. We'll try and join it as much as we can this year. And they've also been firing up their newsletter, giving some good like insights and strategy on what to do with those new All Day dynamic moments. And as well, honestly, just a good time. I think they're most reflective of what a real football show is in terms of personalities. So sure. Twitter Spaces, 9 o'clock Eastern, every Tuesday. We did a quick one this Sunday, or they did a quick one this Sunday before the NFL kickoff, and just going to be a generally fun time.
That was fun, man. I know we used to do something like that, but that was fun with that group of guys, like you said, just because of their personalities and their knowledge of football, and their knowledge of the platform too, made it really interesting. Like I'm always looking to listen to preview shows before the slate starts on Sundays. It doesn't have to be DFS or betting, or it doesn't have to be any of that stuff. I just want to hear about the NFL. And I actually love turning that on, and they were saying some great things. Now, where I have to bring something up is that we recently, I think it was a week ago tomorrow, we held our second annual, the First Mint Secret Boys Club draft. And if you're not part of that, don't be mad.
Fantasy football draft.
There is a way in. Okay. We introduced two new members this year that were not part of it last year. And if you're interested, you'll find a way in. Okay. And all those guys from All Night are part of that league. They were part of the league last year. Okay. Yeah. It just so happens that our draft was at the exact same time as their Spaces last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I said to these guys, first and foremost, can I please ask? Because one of them's like, oh, shit, we have Spaces at the same time. I'm like, hold on a second. As the commish of the league, I ran a poll a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And when I suggested this time, this exact time, Mm-hmm. Every single one of you guys voted yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. What the hell, man? All right. Mm-hmm. So I said, did you guys want me to move it? They said, no, it'll actually be fun if we do it while we're on Spaces. So I'm like, oh, wonderful. All right. I wanted to set up like a Zoom chat for all of us, uh-huh. but you know what? Let's just tune into the damn Spaces mm-hmm. and let these guys go nuts. Mm-hmm. So LG, who, what was your record last year, LG?
I was terrible. Okay. I like, again, last year was my first year paying attention to football in like forever. Over a decade. So I honestly didn't even know what was going on. Like, I was just like, I don't know who half these players are. I didn't watch the year before. So
you had injuries early.
I
think so.
Who was the running back for the Vikings last year? What was his name?
Dalvin Cook.
He was like in the top 10. So I took him with like the seventh pick. Garbage. Which is good. But was terrible. You know what I mean? My quarterback was like
unlucky,
something like that. Like it was just awful. So I just made some. My best pick was Stephon Diggs as my second pick, and he like carried me to the like two or three victories I had. But then in the consolation playoffs, I actually went like all the way. So I technically finished seventh and not tenth, even though on the regular season record I was last. I won the mini playoffs of spots.
Are like you sure the other people were still playing?
I don't care.
I do the same actually,
and played at the game last whistle, man. I don't give a shit.
Well, because they're on Yahoo, you actually have a profile that calculates like where you finish every year, and it does matter. I'm the same, man. I don't agree though in leagues where people who are in the consolation are like adding from the waiver wire. I think that should be left alone, sort of, right? Mm-hmm. That should be left for the people competing. Mm-hmm. But I never locked the rosters, anyways. Mm-hmm. So LG, not the best season last year. Guys were making fun of him and absolutely destroying him at his expense for some of his picks. Some of the weeks where he would score only like 50 points, people would go crazy and be like, oh man, free win next week. You're playing LG. Wonderful. Okay. And so this year, LG came in a little different. He got screwed in the sort of draft position where he was kind of drafting, I think, 12, which is not bad. It's not the best. It's not the worst. It's just guaranteed. It's
tough because those top like 8 or 9 guys are pretty like guaranteed other than Cooper Kupp.
Well, there's three rows. There's three. Yeah. There's three tier. There's three rows of guys. That are premium players. Mm-hmm. You will get all the premium players in the first and second rounds. And then there's only about four that carry over into the third round. So unless you have one of the top four picks, you're not getting three premier top tier guys. You're going to dip into that big drop off of guys for your third round, right? So LG was 12. That's really tough because you better hope those two guys pan out better than they were expected or else you're not
well, because then my third pick isn't until pick 36.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That tier of players is gone. Yeah, you're into some bullshit players. Yeah. And you're even worse next time it comes back. Yeah. So LG was
great.
Man, I thought you were gonna miss the draft. Also, you were nowhere to be seen. Like a minute left.
I was ready.
Oh, hell no. Okay. This guy says he's ready for the draft this year. Okay, LG told me he's been practicing, like he's been doing mock drafts. The first mock draft he did, he sent to me, and he was in fucking shambles. Okay. He was like, man, what the hell is this?
I was trying. I watched like the night before, I watched a bunch of different like how to draft videos like that. I was like, man, but I'm 12.
That's
like
so
I'm
so good, man.
Rude. You know what I mean? Like, I know I had to try something, right?
Yeah. Listen, that's fine. You did one. And then the more mock drafts you did, you were getting better. Like your roster was starting to look decent. Okay. Draft day. So again, LG, the scapegoat of a bunch of jokes from these guys on Spaces early on. Okay. Oh, we can't wait to see what he does. But the thing is, you can't go wrong with your first couple picks. I mean, you're picking good players. Okay. No one can really say anything. Mm-hmm. So anyways, as the Spaces went on, these guys, and we're talking about Stone Cold, Smurf, Mr. X, more specifically, 90s was saying something, but I think he was all over the place. He wasn't really bashing guys, but Smurf was definitely laughing at picks. Stone Cold was laughing at picks, and Mr. X was laughing at picks, and they were doing it in a public setting in front of, I think, everyone who was in that draft was in there and a couple other people. Mm-hmm. And LG, when we were like in the fifth or sixth rounds, these guys, everything LG would pick, they would absolutely like fall off their chairs and shit and be like, mm-hmm. can you believe LG just took that guy? Like, what? Mm-hmm. So last night, before the Cowboys game, okay, because I didn't think it would go nuts the way it did. Mm-hmm. I went and looked at the league scores, and LG had more points by quite a bit than every single one of you guys.
Not winning my matchup this week, but I'm definitely doing better than Smurf and Mr. X.
So LG goes into the private part of the all-night Discord that's just for our league and calls every single one of these guys out. I'm telling you, man, Mr. X was being pretty vicious. And you weren't the only one, LG. He was laughing. They were laughing at everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, KJ, he came in there. He's like, man, these guys are trashing everybody. He goes, but listen, that's fantasy. Okay. For me, there's that you have, if you're going to be in an intense fantasy league that lasts years and years and years, and where you build a special bond, you have to be able to handle trash talk and not think it's personal. Everything outside of that chat, in the chat, it should be the worst place, okay? Mm-hmm. In the league I'm in, some guy went and complained to his wife that everyone's being too nasty in the chat. Mm-hmm. And the commissioner found out and he told everyone. He's like, hey, so-and-so went and complained to his wife, who came to me and said we shouldn't be so nasty to each other in the chat. And I'm like, what?
No.
I'm like, what
no,
is this, man?
It's gloves Are off. You can't get, yeah, you can't go nuts. Yeah, it's no. fine.
Nothing it's has fine. To do That's with the personal life. The, this is fantasy. They're culture. Trying to kill each other, man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, absolutely. You're trying to murder each other in there. There's no like, hey, great game. No, there's none of that. It's like, you suck. Your team is god awful. You know? Yeah. So that's how it works, man. That's fantasy. That's what makes the best leagues. And LG went in there and absolutely annihilated these guys because they had talked so much shit. And his team was up by like, man, LG didn't win this week. He was up against a pretty good opponent. But had he played any of those guys, he would have beat them. So.
Oh yeah, and if all the Chiefs had the Chiefs had a good game, I would have won the matchup this week anyways.
Yeah,
if
that will happen.
If 10% of Mahomes' throws weren't dropped by the receivers, then I think I would have had a few more points.
That was disgusting. Like I couldn't even watch that anymore.
Like, it was pretty unexpected. Like I know they're down Kelce and you know Chiefs will have a little regression after a Super Bowl year kind of thing and lost their offensive coordinator, but still, come on, Ed. Like that's they should have done better than that. Right. So. Anyways, I don't feel bad. I like my pick. I'm still a fan of my picks. I think they're going to pan out. I have Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if he's going to go to the Ravens now or like what's going to happen, but something's going to happen with him in the next couple of weeks before his suspension is lifted. So hopefully that's like a good plus up for me. Ideally, I can just finish with more wins than I did last year, which was 3. So if I finish with 4 wins, this season's a success. Okay. Just like in real sports, you build on season to season. You build your knowledge, okay? I haven't done a fantasy draft in 10 years until last year. So I think I'm doing all right.
One last shout out to our good buddy Chandler. Chandler is predicted to go like 1-12 or something like that by the Yahoo predictor. Okay. He was so pissed, man. He went straight to Twitter and went nuts. And we know the Yahoo grades are like pretty bogus, right? They kind of say whatever compared to average draft position. And every year when you go back and look at the first round, there's 6 guys out of the 10 that you would never draft in the first round midseason again. Do you know what I mean? Right. So even now, after 1 week, LG, if we redid the draft, do you know how different it would be than what you saw us do less than a week ago?
Of course. Yeah.
It's
insane
how people react and go nuts.
Same thing if you did it in week 6 or week 10. You know what I mean?
Even more
substantially different. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it'll be fine. Wow. Okay. Okay, so totally went to that. And if anybody's looking for more NFL all-day coverage, we are in partnership with them right now. If you subscribe to the newsletter, then you've been getting bombarded with those as the season starts. We've got a few more weeks of it left, so stay tuned. We've been breaking down strategy, breaking down how it works. They have a lot of other stuff coming, like it's supposed to be team dashboards and these common level-ups. So a lot of other cool stuff going on NFL all-day. So make sure you check out on our newsletter, thefirstmint.substack.com is where it's at. Phil D, can we talk about other First Mint things actually before I have a little bit of Top Shot, I think, well, not alpha, but maybe a little bit of something. But before we talk about that, can we just talk other First Mint things like Media Pass, which is coming up for its next trivia show
Wednesday. A lot of questions, a lot of people holding passes now. I have a feeling we'll have the biggest crowd ever. I just want to say, and this is to all the people, LG and I have not responded to you, and Sparks, I'm looking right at you because you keep asking what the theme is this week. We have not decided the theme. What I think we're going to do, and I haven't actually confirmed it 100% with LG, but I'm just going to put it out there right now, is I think, and this is my
the theme
idea,
reveal live on the podcast.
No, we're not revealing anything live on the podcast.
You're being revealed right now.
What I would like to do is I would like to give the opportunity to the winner of the first trivia night, which was who? I forgot who it was. Was it Stone Cold?
Stone Cold.
I would like to give
the free pass to the next one. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I would love to give Stone Cold the opportunity to pick 2 themes, okay, for the next trivia night. I want the ability to pick 2 themes, and I want to put the First Mint followers to vote on what the theme of the next trivia should be. Mm-hmm. I want four options, two of mine, two of the defending champ. Mm-hmm. And if the faithful are going to vote a certain theme, they better be willing to play that theme. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to vote that as a top theme, you have no excuse not to come play. And I think it's a great idea. I think we should put it out there and make that happen and let the people have a bit of a say in what we play. That way, if people choose what topic they want, I think they'll come play.
Because the audience plays along too, right?
That's right.
The audience plays
you
along.
You don't have like, to have
audience. You're not as eligible for prizes. You're going to be able to play in the Discord on trivia. But what we want you to do is come up on stage because that's when you're actually eligible to win prizes. We need you on stream. And Phil, let's go really quick. And I love that format. I love the idea of leaving it up to our community to choose what the format is going to be. I really love that. And let's take a quick look at the floors because we haven't really chatted on this on the podcast. But as you guys remember, Media Pass is out. It's kind of like a utility pass. It gives you access to our ecosystem and the live show. So right now, the floor is Survivor Contestant, which the first episode of that, we skipped the first episode, but the real first episode will be 2.5 weeks from now. Format to be revealed, but it's going to be good. It's only $9, $10 to get onto Survivor. After that, we have a lot of trivia passes, all of them like under like 10 to 15 bucks. So that's actually pretty good to come on stream with us, play some trivia. We have Pitch Zone tickets. And right now, a bargain deal, Host of Spaces on First Mint is currently going for $31. That's pretty sweet. You know how much people pay for that shit? Man. So anyways, you can use that. And again, these passes, you can use them anytime between now and November 20th. So you still have like 2.5 months to do that. We have a lot of other good stuff here. We have a podcast ad on First Mint for, I think, like not even $100, maybe 90 bucks. How much is that going? It's $78. We have a tweet on First Mint, also $78. You can co-host this podcast for us with us for only 121 bucks. And again, if those prices are too steep, then I encourage you to get into the First Mint Discord. I'll post the link down here in the podcast description. If you're not in there already, there's a channel you can get into for free. You don't need a ticket or a pass or anything like that, or First Mint Day One. You get in there for free and just go chat with the other day ones, maybe negotiate some prices or a deal or something like that, or just get to meet them. So Media Pass in full effect. We want you guys on the shows. We want you to go and get these passes and write some zany ass shit on First Mint. Phil, did you see even the other day, the latest tweet from Media Pass was from Diamond. Diamond, who covers NFL all day and a lot of flow stuff as well. Actually, he bought one, I think he got one because he's a First Mint holder as well. And he wrote a tweet on First Mint. And man, like, I think that was really worth the money. Let's take a quick look. Where is it? Here we go. So let's take a look at this tweet that he wrote, and it has 68 likes, 17 retweets. Let's look at the analytics. It has 4,900 impressions.
That's pretty good, man.
223 engagements, 25 profile visits, man. And for whatever, like, and again, the cost of that right now is like 70 bucks. So that's actually insanely good compared to what we usually would charge people. So anyways, if you're into that, or honestly, if you got 70 bucks lying around and you just want to write some zany shit on First Mint Twitter, now's your time. It's the only time ever you'll be able to do this. So highly recommend it. And I hope to see a bit more action, especially from our listeners in the next little bit on Media Pass.
I'm excited for Trivia Night, man. That was fun. That was a lot of
Trivia's
fun.
Trivia's good.
What were the prizes last time, LG? For those who weren't,
it was a bunch of all day packs and a own the moment pack as well.
Oh, that should be huge now, even bigger than the first week. Now that the season has started, that should be huge.
Oh, we got some more packs coming this week too. So the prizes are different packs. So it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I think it's worth the potential to win is worth a lot.
And a reminder that if you win, and we're talking amongst the contestants who redeem a media pass for trivia, okay, those are the only ones competing for prizes. Everyone else gets to play. So someone might finish ahead of you in first place, but they don't win any prizes. They just get to kind of brag that they finished first and won. Mm-hmm. But if you finish first, you win the prizes. But not only do you win the prizes, you get to move on to next trivia night for free without having to redeem another media
ticket
pass
or anything. That's right. Like that.
Another ticket into the party, which is really cool. So make sure you guys are ready, and the theme will be announced very shortly so that you can plan accordingly. And I'll tell you right now, one of the two themes I'm going to include in my choice of two, and we'll get Stone Cold to pick the other two, will be Disney. We'll see how that goes.
Why Disney? That's so random. Why do you want to do Disney?
Because everybody knows Disney. Everybody knows something about Disney movies, some Disney theme park, all that. It is one of the most popular trivia topics out there mm-hmm. for like family night, for, you know, things like that. And I think, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people who have kids, everybody was a kid at some point. A lot of people mm-hmm. can relate to Disney themed stuff, but I am interested to see what Stone Cold's going to pick. And I can't wait to reveal the other theme that I have mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. planned for Wednesday.
All right, Phil, let's I know you got to go soon, so let's get to, I don't know if this is alpha, and again, this is back to like the old days of like LG snooping around. So there's this Spaces happening tomorrow that I just saw this on Twitter. I was having coffee this morning. I just saw this. This just came across the screen. So the Spaces happening tomorrow with Flow and Animoca Brands, okay? And you guys, Animoca also has a ton of, you know, licensed IP. They partner with Flow. They launch a lot of stuff. We've worked with them before. And tomorrow, the Spaces is they're I don't know, they're just doing like, I think Animoca is doing some kind of like Unleash the Future event, kind of like, you know, how everybody copies First Mint Fest now, basically doing their own little thing like that. And they announced it as featuring NBA Top Shot, Formula E, HV, and AFL Mint. I actually didn't even know that Formula E had an NFT project, but apparently they had just launched it. I don't have any details on it. I think they'd announced it for Animoca, but yeah, it's coming out. Yeah, and it's some kind of simulation. AFL, Aussie Rules Football. We know them a little bit, but they're on Animoca. They're developed by Animoca and they are on Flow. And it's a chat. It's hosted by Luke Dumbo. You know, so
where the classic. Hell has he been? I haven't heard from this guy in forever. Anyways,
Pylan's still going here. So it's hosted by him. And then the participants, this is the part that I thought was kind of interesting. This guy, Stefan from Animoca Brands, product director, mm-hmm. this guy, Joe, who's partnership and strategy at Animoca. And I think worked on the AFL thing. And then somebody named Nick, who is the senior game designer at NBA Top Shot. Now, what does that mean? Is this, because the thing is, Phil, is that after the whole like Janie thing ended and everybody was like, who's running Top Shot? Top Shot never really gave an answer. They're just like, listen, just talk to like Mo and Jacob group and whoever, of people, yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's never had like
mods. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've asked a million times who is leading this thing. And we don't know. You know, who's the GM? They've gotten away from the GM thing, but even for All Day, it's like we had Noah, the GM of All Day, who used to be like he was also like the gamification guy. You know, we had him on the show as part of the partnership, so it was good. But Top Shot, we've never been able to crack that nugget. And maybe this Nick guy is part of that. If not, senior game designer, what game is being designed?
Can we not go back to any games? Like, honestly, I saw the only reason I heard about the Formula E thing was because I saw AG absolutely trashing it again as soon as it came out.
Oh, he's back being negative. He was being positive for a
while. No, he's actually buying back into Top Shot, believe it or not. Like, he's liking what they're doing. What happened? But he's bashing the things like these, like, you know, like the MotoGP thing and all that. Like, he's going bonkers on that, mm-hmm. right? You know, the usual. But yeah, that is interesting. That is like a pure doxing of someone who's been involved with Top Shot that we've never heard of, like mm-hmm. ever. I was convinced that only three people still work there and, mm-hmm. and kind of run the show, but that seems like a pretty significant title. Like, by games, do they mean like challenges or,
well,
like, you know, like, I don't
I'm
know,
thinking
man.
It's like a hardcore or something like that. And again, this doesn't matter that much.
Nobody cares.
Right, you could be a senior game designer at a company and develop a game for 10 years and then it comes out. You know what I mean? So it's not like an immediate, like there's a game coming out tomorrow, but we know about Hardcore, which was supposed to be the saving grace of Top Shot, maybe still is, that Roham was very unhappy with the development at one point. And they kind of had to go back to the drawing board. And now they have somebody who's a senior game designer. We also don't know who's making the decisions of like, is the economist still there? How is this being decided? Why are they launching Larry Bird and KD anthologies randomly all the time? You know, like, who's deciding to burn? Community as usual, like every couple of weeks, someone who's a hardcore collector gets really upset and says, you know, things like, this fucking sucks, blah, blah, blah. Selling my collection keeps happening. So listen, 5 weeks till the season. All Day has rolled out their thing. Next up is Top Shot. Maybe we'll be due for another Roham office hours. We haven't had one in a long time. Maybe it'll be a chaotic chat, Phil, like it always, like in the new style.
So. I really hope
just
so.
Let the VIPs ask Roham questions, and that was a mess. That was insane. But anyway, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I noticed that. I don't think anybody else noticed it, but there is a person whose title is senior game designer who works at Top Shot. Just putting it out there.
Well, I have to listen because I want to hear, like, they better ask him, like, what is it you do at Top Shot? That's what the question needs to be. Like, tell us what you do and we'll find out what this guy's really about. That's good sleuthing, LG. I saw
Thank
that
you.
And yeah. I never, ever read kind of the Didn't little captions below the people's yeah. names as to what the hell they do, because I don't care. Right. Like, it doesn't matter to me who they are. Yeah. So, but
and they're sending somebody out there for a public event mm-hmm. to represent Top Shot, who is not like a Jacob or anybody else that we've heard from before.
It is very interesting.
So, yeah. Right? So what does that mean? Yeah.
Part, and with a gaming company like Animoca Brands, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the interesting part. You're right.
Yes.
And what is it labeled? What's the title of that? Is it, they're making an announcement, or they're just discussing?
Chat is just gaming on Flow.
Interesting. Very interesting that person is showing up.
The focus of the chat is gaming. So that's why it's they're talking Formula E, which has a simulation game that's going to come out. AFL, which I'm assuming, I guess they're going to make that into a game as well, because mm-hmm. AFL has just been moments of AFL. And then Top Shot.
Hmm. So yeah, I don't know why they're part of that mix. Very interesting.
I don't know.
What time is that at LG? Tomorrow?
Oh, are we going to crash it?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be in there.
It's sure. at 10 Eastern. 7 a.m. for me.
You're up. You're up at that
Come
time.
Come on. I'm up, but I don't want to join a spaces. It's one thing to be up. It's another thing to be on. Like, I guess if I'm listening in, it's not.
Make a coffee. Put your AirPods in. Sit on a deck of yours with that incredible view and just enjoy mm-hmm. the damn spaces. I wish there was a comment section in spaces. Mm-hmm. Because that's my favorite part. Like that, with that whole manhunt thing, going in that YouTube chat and mm-hmm. going bonkers in there with everyone mm-hmm. else was such a part of the experience for me. Mm-hmm. And so is everything else. Discord's like that. Like during a drop, mm-hmm. I go in Discord for sure because I like to go bonkers. Mm-hmm. But on spaces, you can't. You can't say anything. All you can do is those damn emojis at the bottom there.
Yeah, of like, need, you know, like a better chat spaces. That would help a lot. Oh man, I do miss those chaotic days. Like there's one day I woke up and you were on a spaces that 200 people on it talking about Record Shop, and that I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, what even is this project?
Yeah.
And you were like the leader. R.I.P. Record Shop.
We're gonna have to do an update on those things. We need to get Obi on here, ask him what the fuck's going on, man. He's still talking he's still talking like the thing is still going, man. Like I saw him recently on.
How about we should use one of our Media Pass shows, like Survivor, should actually just be, instead of people are like community people coming up, it should be founders of projects that barely exist anymore, like Ballers and Record Shop,
Goated Goats,
Dugout Dogs.
That'd be amazing, actually. Like, have a massive rumble as to who was the biggest rug pull, yeah, or the biggest scam.
Yeah, Survivor, and then they all win because they were all rug pulls in some way, or they just didn't survive. I don't even know if rug is like the right
at this
thing.
Point.
Like
that's
you start
what
a they, company. Yeah. You start a company, you sell stuff, and then your company doesn't survive, and then that's the end.
They like, were the first to pull the exit works. Kind of cord on what was going on. It's the way they did it, I think, that most people have an issue with, right? Like just vanishing is just not right. And maybe giving people a chance to kind of mm-hmm. I don't know, be prepared. Mm-hmm. But you know, now looking back, I'm like, okay, well, now nobody's talking about it because everybody's gone, you know. So
yeah, it's kind of happened to everybody,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
They just left early, and they were the first to kind of take the hit for leaving.
Yeah, the most common story in NFTs now that everybody like likes to shit on projects is just like, wow, it's down 95% since the peak, and it's like everything is down 95% since the peak. Even AMC, which was like the lead shit stock, is down 99% since the short squeeze. You know what I mean? It's like that's everything, man. Other than the stable things like Ethereum. So sorry. You know, it's these projects are down. I think it's also just the way it's been done, though, that I think people don't like as much. Maybe we could get Genies on here, Phil.
Hey, listen, that Genies would be part of that group we just named. Yeah. I'm not just bringing one of them. We are sending an invite to every single one of them.
Does he work there anymore?
We have to pick six. So we'll bring Akash on here. We need to hear what the hell he has to say, or somebody else.
What does he do? What does he do all day?
I don't know. Do they still have that office with the big slides and stuff? Like, does that still exist? I don't see any pictures of that stuff anymore. We need an update. We really need an update from people. We need to have, we need an incentive, LG, for them to come on the damn show. Okay. We need a six wide. Like,
what's the incentive?
I don't know.
Come on. And we're going to fucking obliterate
something.
You. Like
we need something. What? We need something to bring these people on. And now looking back, like I thought Genies was kind of a long-term thing. Maybe it still is. I don't know. But I do wish that they had opened a marketplace a long time ago, just to let people get out if they really wanted to, you know, because now everyone's left. Not that people paid for all their stuff. They did, though. At one point, we were paying a lot with our Dapper balance. But, you know, we were, you know, now there's no option. I mean, you're stuck with these collections and there's nothing to do with them, right? Like the metaverse is not even, like, what was that place we went to, that concert? Does that even still exist? Like, people still hanging out in that place or what?
What are you talking about?
The Paris Hilton concert.
The Decentraland?
Yeah. Does that still exist?
Same thing. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's still around, but
people actually
problem.
Hang out in that shit? Like, that's crazy.
I don't know. I think it had like 50 active users recently.
Oh, Get out of here.
Like, just 50? Terrible. Yeah. Like
that doesn't exist. You probably can't find anyone in there.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. Because it was all tied to that kind of stuff, right? So.
Yeah, it was all speculation anyways. Yeah. But we had fun at that Paris Hilton concert, Phil.
We did have fun. We had a good time. People were flying in the air. Boxes were flying at us. Smashing boxes. It was pretty exciting. Yeah. Good times. You know what? We'll always have the memories, LG, of those times. Yeah. And like you said, the chaos of pack drops. There's nothing will ever compare to the chaos of pack drops when they happened and the whole world wanted in on them.
Hopefully something will one day. Hopefully there'll be something. Again, we're at the depth of the market right now. So hopefully in a year and a half time, end of 2024, early 25, if you believe in the cyclical nature, I always say that, but maybe it'll be good times again. Who knows? I don't know if it'll be pack draws, but we'll something, see. Maybe. We'll see. Anyways, Phil, great chat.
I want to end it with a bit of trivia for you, LG, since the next time we're going to do
actual trivia. Okay.
No, I'm going to give you one question. I want to see if you know
trivia right now. Okay, hit me with it.
There was an announcement this morning that Elon Musk was and his girlfriend of like 5 years ago were expecting another baby.
Really?
Okay. How many children will he have once that baby comes out? I didn't know this. That's why I'm...
I want to say 8.
The incoming 7? Baby will be the third with... that lady.
Third. I thought they only had one kid.
No, okay, so it will be the third because they've always talked about having 4 kids. Okay.
Yeah.
And it will be his 11th child. <Just kidding. laughs> It will be his 11th child. I didn't know this. I had no clue the guy had kids, man. Jesus. Until I saw it this morning.
Yeah, his first wife, they had like 5 or 6 kids.
That is wild.
Yeah.
But I mean, with all the money, I mean, shouldn't be an issue.
I mean, at least he can support them. But I don't know.
He won't be able to pay and he can fly himself to them anytime he wants and do all that. But a little surprised. He didn't strike me as a guy that would have 11 kids some of these NFL players and all that. And the fact that he's cycling back to old girlfriends because of like promises they made each other is even wilder to me. So exciting stuff. You would have lost, LG. You would have not got that right in trivia night. So.
I mean, at least I was close. 8. You know, at least I was in the range. Because a lot of people don't know that he's had like a bunch of kids.
That's right.
So at least I knew that part. I just didn't know. I just haven't kept up with Elon. I like that Elon is like a tabloid kind of person now. You know what I mean? That it's like he's also in that sphere.
He loves it. Absolutely loves it. And I do like what he's doing with Twitter, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I do.
Wow.
I do enjoy it.
So.
Yeah, that's it. Trivia night, Wednesday night. Join us. It's going to be wild.
See you then.